Well, we're continuing our studies in Proverbs chapter 1, which we began 2 weeks ago. If you'll recall, we saw in the introduction how much more valuable the teachings in Proverbs were because they came from Solomon, the son of David. More valuable than if they'd come from a man who had another famous father. For example, perhaps the son of Jeroboam. There's much value then in having a godly heritage. Consider Timothy. He was the third generation Christian in his family. And look how Paul describes Timothy's faith in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. To be taught by a godly and prayerful parent such as David or Eunice. And of course, it just reminds us the example of Timothy that a godly mother can be of the greatest value to bringing up godly children, a godly, prayerful mother to teach children the way of salvation. Of course, we have to acknowledge that sometimes children don't follow their parents as they ought, and it becomes almost lip service. They take for granted the faith that they have grown up with, and that is a terrible error we do find in Christian families, unfortunately. But the best way is to build on the faith of our parents. What a great advantage Christian children have over those not brought up by Christian parents, not brought up to know the gospel until they are much older. But of course, there is perhaps a twist here, because even if it was the godly David teaching, who's the father of Solomon, and therefore we are pleased to have the wisdom passed to us, that would be only of limited value, wouldn't it? But really, the reason why this book is of such value is because it's written by primarily not David, but David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God. And we see that throughout this book, don't we? Particularly in this chapter and chapter 8, the wisdom of God, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we recall the value of the Bible. Because, of course, while the greatest value of Proverbs is that it's written by the Spirit of God, we remember also that we are influenced by the examples of those we find in Scripture who've gone before us. So we read in about the Old Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Old Testament examples, the Proverbs as godly examples to us. And we saw that these Proverbs give wisdom to the simple. Children are foolish by nature, and they need instruction, but also to young men who are given knowledge and discretion. How often have you heard it said that one wishes one had a wiser head on young shoulders, or an older head on young shoulders? And we realize in latter years that we could have made wiser decisions when we were younger. We only wish that when we were younger, we had those wise examples, or we'd listened to the wise instruction that we've been given. How many decisions might we have taken differently had we had access to that wisdom when we were more tender years? Well, we see from verse 5, which is what we're going to, verse 5 and 6, which we're going to focus on tonight, that the scope of this book is not just for the simple and for the young men, but even for the wise, even for those who are older. It's very sad when an old man stops being willing to learn. We might think that simply isn't possible, but I'm afraid it is. We all need to watch out that we don't think that we've arrived, and that, for example, young men in the pulpit have nothing to teach us. Remember the teaching in Ecclesiastes: better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Have you come across such people yourself? Or have we been guilty? Because I'm afraid we will find no walls in the church as well as in the world. My plea is that we never become so wise in our own understanding that we refuse to receive correction from others. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Don't think that you know better than other people. Remember Balaam and his donkey. It was the donkey that saved Balaam from his folly, because he saw, to quote Numbers chapter 22, verse 23, he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, saved Balaam's life. Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. And then we read down in verse 28, the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? The Lord opened the mouth of the ass to correct Balaam, who seemed intent on proceeding to his own destruction. Again, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 15, we read of the poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. One is reminded of Queen Esther's uncle, Mordecai, in that regard. Mordecai, if you recall, discovered a plot against the king, which he reported to the queen. She reported it to the king in his name, and it was entered into the history books, the book of the Chronicles of the king. But nothing happened. He was left unrewarded for his noble, loyal deed. But then, at the appointed hour, we read, if you happen to be following Murray McChain's reading pattern or reading schedule for the year, you would have read Esther chapter 6 today. On that night, could not the king sleep? And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. We may not be honored when we ought to be, but we shouldn't worry, should we, if we're not, if our wisdom is overlooked. The Lord has a timing for everything. And let always praise come from another. It's so tempting, isn't it, for us to use a colloquialism, blow our own trumpets, for people to want to know from us how good we've been, how many of us continue to fall into that trap. Of course, then there was Paul's nephew discovering the plot to kill Paul in Acts chapter 23, verse 16. Remember that the Lord has promised in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, to shame the worldly and the worldly wise by the things that the world considers foolish. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The sad thing is that even Christians, as they get older, they can begin to glory in their own abilities. They can think their ministry really has been remarkably blessed. They can't be such bad chaps after all. And then one starts being wise in one's own conceits. It can happen to any of us, friends. Let us beware. So a truly wise man will know that he's never achieved perfection in knowledge and understanding. And of course, that's one of the errors that we have to stand against, those who believe in Christian perfection, because we will not reach perfection in this life. Indeed, I suggest to you that the older you get, if you have the correct attitude, the more you realize how much you don't know. So Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Does that speak of a man who has arrived? Well, if Paul hadn't arrived, how dare any of us think that we have arrived? Us who are mere pygmies compared to Paul and his godly learning. No, friends, we are always on the learning side. We're all on the learning path. David was always seeking greater light. So we read in Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We should never stop having that attitude to scripture. And in Psalm 119, verses 33 and 34, which we will be singing shortly. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. We need to be taught by the Lord to be granted understanding all the days of our life. As Charles Bridges pointed out in his excellent commentary on Proverbs, the richest stores would soon waste without constant additions. There's no standing still, in effect, in the Christian life. You either go backwards because you are neglecting scripture, neglecting to be taught, or you go forwards because you are using the means of grace to grow in your faith. And hearing other teachers is a chief means that God's appointed. So Jethro instructed Moses in Exodus chapter 18, verses 17 to 26. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples. We read this in Matthew 13, verses 11 to 16. He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And there in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So the Lord had divided between the Pharisees who would not listen and his disciples who did, and they grew in their understanding. And then we read in John 16, verse 12, the Lord Jesus saying, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. That's interesting too, isn't it? Again, that the disciples had not arrived just because they had been with the Lord Jesus Christ for his ministry. Peter enlightened his fellow apostles concerning his vision in Acts chapter 10 and his meeting with Cornelius. And he realized that now the gospel was to go out to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And you'll recall that in Acts chapter 18, Priscilla and Aquila instructed Apollos in the way of God more perfectly. Well, that's the value of teachers who have wisdom to pass on. But before we can be teachers, we must be hearers first. Of course, we remember the scripture, to be quick to listen, to be slow to speak. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9, we read, Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Well, it seems unfair, doesn't it? You think that instruction is needed to a foolish man, but the problem with a foolish man is he won't learn. But a wise man will learn, and he'll carry on learning. And a just man will increase in learning as well. Proverbs 18, verse 15, we read, The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. It was said of the children of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Wise men seek from God's mouth those things that the godly should do. Written about the Queen of Sheba. She's an example, isn't she? A pagan queen came to Solomon, who told her all her questions, answered all her questions. There was nothing hid from the king which he told her not, and she listened and was amazed at his wisdom. We will never fully plumb the depths of the word of God, but we will always be able to go deeper. And so it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And we will never stop in this life learning the deep things of God. We will never stop. You see, we need to transition from being mere milk drinkers to meat eaters in the Word. You'll remember that there's a transition. We should not always stay as babies. And in 1 John chapter 2, this is how John puts it. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So we see that that gradation, there is a growing in our maturity as believers. Again, we never stand still. We must go forward unto perfection. There is therefore great value to be derived from the minister of God, who should seek understanding that he might instruct the ignorant. So Job wrote, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness. Remember Philip, he was at the right place at the right time to instruct the Ethiopian eunuch into the proper understanding of Isaiah chapter 53. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. That was a quote from Isaiah 53, verses 7 to 8. Who this man could not understand. Which this man could not understand. But the Lord graciously provided a teacher for him. And having listened, he received that instruction and wonderfully was saved. God has appointed ministers as a means of bringing others to the perfection of knowledge. So we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 15. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So you see, God has appointed ministers. So one, in the end, must recognize the minister, not necessarily for the weak individual that he may be, but as the appointment of God. It's only if the person simply does not fulfill the requirements of a minister that one would have to reject him. But we must expect the normal course of events to learn from a minister, because that is one of God's appointed means by which we are to grow. How sad when people stop going to church altogether, because they can't grow if they are simply on their own, not coming under the ministry of anybody. And then we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly, Paul wrote, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. As Charles Bridges noted in his commentary, many disorders and heresies might have been avoided if men had honored the priest as the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And this is quoting from Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, in humility and simplicity sought the law at his mouth. The verse reads, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. We're reminded also of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Note that we're not simply to obey everything that the minister says, but what is seen said here is follow their godly example. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, follow me as I follow Christ. We must follow the godly example of Christian ministers, those that will go to the prayer meeting as a priority. They won't allow excuses or hard work to stop them doing their duty, seeking first his kingdom and righteousness. We follow men who set godly examples, and when they preach faithfully from the word, we follow what they say, because it is the word of God. And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, Paul writes again, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for yourselves. Notice the reason, not because they want to have a preeminence and they want to have a big following, but because they're concerned for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So to look at the motives behind what a minister is doing. But where is a genuine motive? Where genuinely he knows, and you know, that if you don't follow what he's saying, then your soul is going to suffer. Well, we'd be very foolish to ignore such teaching. See, there's a problem, isn't there, in the church of self-will. Who doesn't have that capacity in them to be self-willed, not to put the will on the cross? I can't help thinking, matter of worship, where people find the idea of singing psalms so difficult, that there is an element of will worship in there, of wanting to sing certain things because that's what I want to do. And that's, in a way, a harmless example, but there are other more serious aspects to will worship, where we will do what we want. If we're not prepared to be corrected, we'll only let someone in a certain distance to seek to correct us. Otherwise, it is out of bounds. Friends, we need to be very careful with that kind of attitude, because it will lead us otherwise into danger. And we will also get a wrong opinion. So Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. You see, that's so much, doesn't that say some people? I hope none of us. But the Apostle Paul was writing, you've reigned as kings without us. You've gone your own way. You're doing it your way. You're not doing it the Bible's way. Friends, that's a warning, isn't it? Some will say, well, I can't do what my minister says, because that's what is called Romish, that's what the Roman Catholics do. They just have to do what the priest says. But don't forget, there is a difference, because so often the Roman Catholic priest won't give you a reason to do it. He'll simply say, that is the teaching of church, you will do it. Now, I'm not saying that they all do that. There may be some exceptions, but that's generally the way, isn't it, when people are seeking to dominate you. But where you are given a reason for it, and that reason is a godly reason, then you need to examine yourself quite carefully for refusing to go in that direction. We need humble subjection to the faithful steward of the mysteries of God. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So we should, and this really is, I think, again, from Charles Bridges, we should have the attitude of coming to learn and not to teach, to have and not the curiosity fed. but the conscience satisfied. The reverence for God's ordinance will result in the good things of the heart, established by grace, as Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. So let us just briefly then return to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 as we close. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Let's be those who cleave to the words of the wise and their dark sayings, that we may constantly grow in our understanding of the ways of the Lord, constantly have our treasure chests increased, that we may walk more perfectly in the way of life. Amen.
Amen.